Hello, we start with breaking news from Sudan, where the Sovereign Council says there's been a failed coup attempt. The plotters reportedly attempted to take control of the state radio facility. For more on this, Hiba Morgan joins us on the phone from Khartoum. Hello there, Hiba. What more do we know about this failed coup attempt?
Well, there are still a lot of questions about which group exactly is behind this and the purpose of the coup. What we do know is that about 3 hours ago, Khartoum woke up to what seemed like a pretty normal morning, with the exception of that, one of the bridges leading to Omdurman, which is the twin city of the capital, Khartoum, one of those bridges were blocked, and that bridge leads to the arms depot of the military. Now, there were a couple of tanks standing in front of the bridges, preventing civilians from crossing over, and there were a lot of by those people who were trying to cross the bridge as to why there were tanks blocking those two bridges. Then came the report that there was a coup attempt and that the soldiers were taking over the arms depot and that they wanted to take over the state television and radio. Now, who exactly that group is and why they tried to stage a coup, that's a question we're waiting for to hear answers from the Sovereignty Council. They're expected to issue a statement in a short while. But so far, we've seen a lot of tweets from members of the Sovereignty Council, one of them being the spokesman of the Sovereignty Council himself, who has called on the people to support the military and the transition. And other members of the government, or rather the ruling coalition of this government, calling for support of the transition. Of course, this is a government that came to power following the overthrow of former President Omar al-Bashir in April 2019 before signing a power sharing agreement between the military and the civilians. So right now there's a lot of questions on the minds of many people here in Sudan, which we're waiting to hear answers from the Sovereignty Council when they issue a statement shortly.
Hiba, give us an insight into, you did mention it briefly just then, give us an insight into the current political situation internally and externally in Sudan.
Well, there is a bit of tension. Both sides have admitted, the military and the civilians, which are in a power-sharing agreement, both admitted that there are some tensions between the two sides, but nevertheless, they've always described their relationship as something of a unique model that many countries can follow. Now, there has been reports of tensions between the Rapid Support Forces, that's the paramilitary group here in Sudan, which is the head of that group is also part of the Sovereignty Council. In fact, he's the deputy head of the Sovereignty Council. There have been rumors of tensions between his forces and the military. That has risen, has caused tensions in the capital repeatedly. And then there's, of course, the relationship between the military and the power-sharing coalition, the coalition that they signed a deal with in August of 2019. There's been repeatedly war of words between the two sides. We've seen repeated statements issued by the two sides condemning each other for moves taken. But nevertheless, all sides have repeated that they have a unique kind of partnership, a unique structure that they're trying to follow to ensure that Sudan actually heads to elections and follows its path on a democratic transition. Now, Sudan's relationship with its neighbors has been up and down. There's, of course, Egypt, which it had military drills with several times over the past year. But then there are tensions between Sudan and Ethiopia over the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, as well as a 3,000 square kilometer area known as Al-Fashaga, which straddles the border between Sudan and Ethiopia. Now, again, we're waiting for statements from the army to understand who exactly was behind the coup and the purpose of the coup and exactly what motivated them. There's also another thing that we have to take into account. Now, in the east of the country, in the state of Red Sea State, specifically Port Sudan, there has been a lot of tension. In fact, the road leading to that state has been blocked by the tribe known as the Bija, who have condemned the peace agreement that was signed in the South Sudanese capital, Juba, last year. They say that even though there were members from the east to sign on that peace agreement, it does not represent the demand. So internally, that has been causing a lot of tension to this government.
Hiba, how much does the economic situation in the country come into play here?
Now, when this government took power in August 2019, there were a lot of protests that followed because of the economic conditions. The inflation was continuing to rise steeply. Many people have complained that they were no longer able to afford, you know, basic commodities. And we've seen the rate of poverty go from 50% to over 70%. That's something that the government has admitted to. But we've also seen earlier this year the government devaluing its currency and floating its exchange rate to be able to stabilize the economy, according to their words. They've lifted fuel subsidies, and that has been something that many of the people in the country have not accepted, and they've staged protests against that. But in the past month, there has been a report that the inflation has actually gone down. And a lot of people are saying that to a certain degree, the economic situation is starting to stabilize. So for the past two or three months, we have not seen a lot of protests regarding the economy. Talking to average people, you would hear people talking about the economy, saying that they still find basic commodities unaffordable. But a lot of them are saying that they're starting to see some changes in the economy. They're starting to see some improvements, especially since the devaluation of the currency.
Hiba, tell us a little bit about the mood on the street. You're obviously very familiar with Sudan. Have you been able to speak to anyone about their reactions to this potential failed coup?
Well, we've spoken to military sources to get an understanding of what has happened, and they have said that this is a small group and that they are containing the situation. Now, the word to focus on here is containing, which means that it is still very much an active operation that they're trying to control. Then there's also the normal people who are trying to understand what is happening. There has been a bit of traffic on the street. You could sense some kind of tension, you know. There is a bit of a difference from everyday Khartoum and this morning. People trying to understand what is happening, a lot of them waiting for that army statement to let them know what has been going under, what has been happening and what is still underway in the capital Khartoum, and whether there is any danger to the transition. Now, people have been repeatedly saying that they have always felt that the military had an upper hand in controlling things in Sudan. Many people who protested, let's remember, said that they did not want a military rule. They wanted a civilian rule. As the current things stand, there is the Prime Minister, Abdullah Hamdok, who's the head of the Executive Council of the Transitional Government. Then you have the Sovereignty Council. Now, to get an understanding, the Sovereignty Council is made up of 5 military members, 6 civilian members from the ruling coalition, and then 3 members from the armed groups that signed a peace deal with the Sudanese government in October in the South Sudanese capital, Juba, last year. That's the makeup of the Transitional Council and the Executive Council, which together at the moment also form the Legislative Assembly until a Transitional Legislative Assembly is elected by the ruling coalition. Now, a lot of people and a lot of political parties have been saying that they're not happy with the situation. They believe that the military is in control of many of the issues, and now that there are also armed groups in the deal and in the government, they believe that the civilians are getting less and less control. Nevertheless, they've always spoken about the fact that they're waiting for this transitional government to lead them to elections. They wanted to see syndicates and unions being formed. They wanted to see the building blocks and the foundations being put for an election to be held by the end of the transition. So for a lot of people who we've been speaking to this morning, there are questions as to whether that transition is now in doubt and whether the army will get a stronger grip by the end of the day.
What is your thoughts, or what are your thoughts on the strength of that military? You have alluded to it in that previous answer, but how strong are they?
You're talking about an institution that has been in power for over 60 years, or rather that has been in existence for over 60 years, facing a coalition that has been in power for less than 2 years. Now, obviously, when you compare the two, the military has the upper mind. They also control a lot of companies and thus can balance the Sudanese economy and the way things are managed. So a lot of people have been saying that the army should let go of the companies and the industries that they control, because that gives them a lot of income that they should not be getting, and that they should be on the payroll of the government, just like any other civil servants. Obviously, the army has a lot of power, especially when you factor into the fact that it is in some kind of a partnership, although tense, with the Rapid Support Forces. Now, that's the paramilitary group that has been leading the conflict in Darfur and has been accused of human rights atrocities, including burning villages and raping women. So when you look at those two groups together, and then you look at the civilian coalition, which has been in power for about 2 years, it's obvious to see who has the upper hand here. But then when you look at the document, the power-sharing agreement that was signed, that document gives civilians a bit of an upper hand. There are a lot of talks about you know, how strong this executive council is, how strong is the prime minister when he's up against the military. But again, the prime minister has always been saying he's very careful not to rock the boat. As a matter of fact, he has proposed, he's made proposals to try to make sure that this country does, or rather the transition continues and that the country, as per his words, does not break apart. And that includes reforms in the military. So there has been more and more tensions between the civilian side and the military side. And again, when you look at the institution that has companies under its control and which it makes income off, and an institution that has been in existence for over 60 years, it's clear to see who has the upper hand here.
Hiba, thank you very much for your insights there. Hiba Morgan, live for us in Khartoum. No doubt we will cross back to you as this story develops, and we are waiting to hear from the army, and we'll bring that to you live when we can. Thank you, Hiba.